Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by the demo god himself. He pulls in more ratings than SmackDown in the UK. It's Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello. Yes. Hi. Luke's still on holiday. And I don't know if that's... Can we say that? Is that something we can say now?
Can we say that Luke's on holiday?
No.
But you're the demo god who draws the viewers.
I don't know if that's true. It's just we've just realized that no one watches SmackDown in the UK. And that's it.
Don't qualify it. Take the win. Take the headline. If wrestling promotion has taught you anything, Pete, it is ignore all the negative parts of the story. SmackDown's historically low viewership, the potential appetite for wrestling content in the UK being near non-existent. What you need to take from this is you're bigger than WWE.
The biggest wrestling show on a Saturday for UK time in the world.
Well, we'll go over this in the main show as well. We need to spread this message to the YouTube audience. But the long and short of it is Dave Meltzer compared UK viewership of SmackDown to an episode of the WrestleTalk SmackDown podcast.
Yep.
And how the SmackDown podcast outdrew SmackDown in the UK. Did he choose the worst thing in his mind to compare it to?
I think he probably did. And he also got the numbers wrong, which is weird. But anyway, yeah, we'll talk about it more later. For now, we should probably just get into the actual main show itself. And we've got some more emails in the outro and stuff like that as well. But first, we're going to be talking about this controversial AEW star that returned on the show. Here's the show.
Controversial AEW star returned. I'm in slammiversary mode. Returned last night on the episode of Dynamite in the main event where the Inner Circle was beating down Jurassic Express. They'd just beaten them in the main event match when it was Jake Hager and Chris Jericho versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. And all throughout the night, the camera kept cutting to this guy in the crowd, Serpentico, who is a masked wrestler, had been wrestling on Dark. And Serpentico gets into the ring and starts beating down Jurassic Express with the Inner Circle. We're like, wait a second, is this a new member of the Inner Circle? No, it's not, because Then Serpentico took off his mask. Pretty cool mask, by the way. I really like the design. To reveal himself as Sammy Guevara, who's been missing for just under 4 weeks, I would say, after he was suspended by AEW to attend, empathy training? I don't know. Yeah. What was it called?
It's not rehabilitation. It was like behavior correction or something like that, yeah.
The scene in Clockwork Orange where they pull open your eyeball and make you watch loads of stuff.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's brainwashing. That was just a bad comparison. So, sort of sensitivity training, I suppose. And that was off the back of the insensitive comments he made about Sasha Banks about 4 years ago in a podcast. That clip was resurfaced. AEW made the decision to suspend him and make him go to this sort of awareness seminars to, you know, make him a better person and to learn from those mistakes. And he's back now, which is really good. Well done. This is a really nice way to resolve what was quite a controversial, sticky situation a couple of months ago. Hopefully everyone is now the better for it. And the inner circle are together again, just like me, Ollie Davis, joined by the Chop, Pete Quinnell. That's what he's calling himself now.
Nope.
Because he claims to be more popular and well-known than The Rock himself.
No.
Do you want to explain to the people the viral sensation that is The Chop?
It's not... Okay. I'm not The Chop, for starters, but there was a very interesting thing on Wrestling Observer Live. As it turns out, Dave Meltzer mentioned that the UK viewership for SmackDown was less than what we got for the WrestleTalk podcast review of the same episode of SmackDown. So that means that now we're better than WWE. We're bigger than WWE. I'm the best. I'm the Chop.
Maybe you're the Demo Chop.
I'm the Demo Chop. That's what it is. Chop. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we can actually break down the demographics here for anyone who is interested. The numbers of SmackDown in the UK the other week were like 9,000.
Yeah, it was about 9,600 or 10,000, something like that.
Disastrously low. That is abysmal.
And that is including 7 hours extra for DVR time as well. That's not just live, because obviously it's on at 1 a.m. in the UK, but it does give time for... on a Saturday morning to watch it, but no one is, really. No, 10,000 people.
Very, very low. Whereas if you go back and watch the SmackDown podcast that Beat and Andy did, that got like probably 20,000, 25,000 is the number it usually gets. Only 4,000 of those are in the UK, so it's not like we beat them in the UK, but isn't that fun? But the Chop is the Demo Chop.
Apparently, like I say, apparently, but if you think about it, though, about 4,000 from the UK, that's like just under half of the UK SmackDown audience watches our show, which is pretty mental. So
don't worry, the way Raw ratings are going, I'm sure me and Luke will be there at the same sort jockeying for position with WWE. So let's talk about this episode of Dynamite and what was, in my view, I think one of the better episodes of the year. And this is kind of a weird take, because we've just had four very good sequential episodes. We had the Go Home show for Fyter Fest. Then we had Fyter Fest times two. Then we had Fight for the Fallen last week. And I would argue each week got progressively better. However, they all came with their own expectations, because these are essentially TV pay-per-views, they're special events. And I know me personally, definitely for night one of Fyter Fest, it didn't meet my expectations for a special event like the AEW ones that have happened in the past. I'm thinking Bash at the Beach on the Jericho Cruise, or the cage match with Cody and Wardlow, stuff like that. This was the first Dynamite in a month that didn't have those expectations. It was just a normal episode of Dynamite. There's, you know, the next pay-per-view is All Out all the way at the start of September. And this was one of the most enjoyable just weekly episodes of wrestling TV you will ever find. Storylines were progressed in a good way. The in-ring wrestling was either very, very good or very, very fun, and all the characters are over. I loved it.
Yeah, there's really nothing to complain about on the show. Like, I don't think there was anything that was particularly, like, hugely groundbreaking in terms of the crazy shock angles or anything like that. Bar Sammy Guevara coming back, but I think that was more of like, oh, he's back, okay, rather than oh my god, I can't believe he's here. There wasn't anything like massive, but there wasn't really anything that was bad. Everything progressed, like you said, everything was fun. It was just, there's nothing really to critique. It was just a really, really good episode. It was fun.
Yeah, I think that's important to say, because I think a lot of people will be like, well, why didn't you give it 5 out of 5? And that's like my criteria, as arbitrary as it is. And really, sometimes it depends on how much food I've eaten that day. If I give something a 1 out of 5, then it has to be like actively damaging, like a really, really terrible segment or match.
Karaoke showdown.
Karaoke showdown, for example. Or like Ricochet, just the first time Ricochet was booked really badly. You know, terrible. Makes me pessimistic about the future. If it's a 5 out of 5 show, I want at least one killer angle that I'm going to remember for a long time. And this show didn't have a super killer angle. It had really like fun, memorable spots, you know, like Lance Archer throwing a dude through a ceiling. But overall, like it didn't have that all-time great moment for me that gets it a 5 out of 5. But man, this flew by. I think if anyone ever said to me, oh, I want to get into that sort of wrestling stuff that you like, shall I watch WWE? Shall I watch Impact? Shall I watch AEW? I'll say this episode of Dynamite.
Mm. I feel like anytime I check in with your AEW streams from time to time, and I feel like either one, you or Luke, always says, you know, I'd show someone this episode of Dynamite to get them into wrestling. I think that just really goes to show that they put on a very consistently good to great product. And it just goes to show week to week, they have characters that make sense. They stay consistent. They don't book them in terrible angles that actively damage their talent. And it's just refreshing to see a good product that you can continue to be optimistic for week after week, and they still deliver on a good to great product every week.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's good. It's good you say that, because I think I never really picked up on how much me and Luke say. I think it's, yeah, the underlying need is I just want to show everyone AEW because I love it. I really, really love it. Mm-hmm. And it is a bit frustrating that I've been asking for an alternative to WWE that isn't NXT, you know, because it is owned by WWE, since I got into indie wrestling in 2010. And I've been doing that very publicly since I took over on WrestleTalk in 2016. And now it's here. And it is satisfying all of my needs in a big way. And I'm saying, I love this product. Everyone's like, well, you're being paid by Tony Khan. Do you not really? Can I not like the wrestling?
No.
I love it though, and I do. I just want people to watch it, and it's nice to be excited about stuff like that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more.
One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? Then you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
So we need to say thank you now to some very special people. And those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. There's loads of bonus content. There's all sorts of stuff on there. I'm kind of losing my trail of thought right now, because even though I do normally do this for the SmackDown podcast, I normally have someone else here. It's really throwing me off. But anyway, if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling name and it gets read out on a show just like this one. So thank you to RDK. The K stands for the coolest dude ever. You also get a cheap pop. Woo! Yeah, thank you. Let's have a drink. Chris Merriman. Ooh, thank you very much. The Hunter, Tyler Bailey. This is weird with only one person. Really strange. Duncan, just Duncan. Thank you very much. You're great. This is some kind of patron shout out. Nate drop surname. Again, I don't do the woos when I do it. Magnetic Field, thank you. You're great. Ari the Boozer Weight Feldberg, thank you very much. Robert F. Dangerously, you're the best. We love you. He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man. Yay, thank you. Finding Jory Debon, thank you very much. It's Hanu. Matthew McCready, thank you very much. And finally for today, Ken, I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer. De Leon, woo, thank you very much.
Shall we get in with your super chats to see what everyone else thought on the subject of Sammy returning? Check the comment, says Seth Rollins said he makes more money than Will Ospreay, and wrestling fans were more outraged about that than Sammy Guevara saying he wanted to, you know, do a horrible thing to Sasha Banks. Let that sink in. Yeah, I think, you know, Seth Rollins had a larger platform when he said that, and that was in a very different time. Sammy Guevara wasn't well known at all when he made these comments. These were 4 years ago. So sensitivities have changed even in the last 4 years. It's unfortunate that those comments were ever made, but yeah, it's come out now and it's sort of spread now. I wouldn't sort of get on a moral high horse about that. They seem to be quite distinct, separate events.
Yeah. I'd also say as well that simply due to the nature of the speaking out movement, it wasn't an isolated incident with Sammy Guevara. There was lots of other, and I'm not trying to say that what Sammy Guevara did was fine, but there were much worse incidents of physical abuse and things like that. So I think in comparison, people weren't as mad about it, whereas the Seth Rollins thing, that was the big talking point of wrestling at the time. So everyone was mad about it because that was the thing that people were talking about.
I long for those days.
I know, right?
Where the big controversy was just Seth saying he made loads of money. Ugh. Phoenix, best episode of Dynamite of all time, I think.
Oof. That's a big one. It's good. If you think it's your favorite, then by all means, yeah, I can totally see it.
It's in the conversation. Jobber JJ496, did you hear Wrestling Observer Radio? Wrestle Talk gets more views than SmackDown on BT Sport. Also, Italy has dropped WWE for AEW. Eddie Kingston was amazing. Yes, he was. And Lance is scary.
Too right. Yes, he is. And also, yes, we draw more than SmackDown. That's going to be a thing now.
That's the chop. Christopher Jazzcat, we just saw Eddie mother effing Kingston beat the S word out of Cody. Thank you for censoring all your words there. That was the best. More indie vets doing matches like this, please. Chris Hero next.
Oh, seriously, when they said it was going to be mystery guest top independent wrestler for TNT title, I was like, Chris Hero, please, Chris Hero, please, Chris Hero. Oh, it'd be so good.
Jobber JJ496 again. If Lance Archer ever destroys this jobber, I may have glass in my shins, but I will survive. New meme. Everyone tell Pritchard Wrestle Talk is better than WWE.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. This is going to spiral out of control pretty fast.
Aaron Smith. Plot twist. Hangman turns heel on Kenny and forms the Horseman with FTR and Sean Spears.
Because he's a horseman. Because he's a cowboy. He's a four horseman. Speaking of four horsemen, by the way, just a quick little plug for Wrestle Talk interviews real quick. Tomorrow, we're going to have an interview with FTR going up on Wrestle Talk interviews. And in the interview, they speak about, you know, creating a new four horsemen stable and whether they'd want to do it or not. Spoilers, they don't. But yeah, it's a really, really interesting interview. Trust, it's genuinely... I was supposed to watch it just to be like, oh, let's see if we can pick out these things and clip these bits. And I just ended up just watching it because it was really, really good. So just watch it tomorrow. It's really good. Subscribe to WrestleTalk Interviews.
WrestleTalk Interviews in an interview done by Louis Dangor. Obviously, I guess we'll take this moment now to address the pinned comment because we're contractually obliged to. Louis is sort of, you know, holding us a bit over a barrel with his contract negotiations. We gave him a channel, we let him interview all these people, and now he's like, now I want to be on Quizlemania. We're like, you're not a draw. So he said that he is a draw, and we said, prove it. So there's a petition that you can, that's linked in the pinned comment on the live chat, and if you want to, you can go over there and sign it.
You don't have to, but but probably not worth it, but,
Adam's got more on that in a video on Parts of Unknown, but don't watch that.
But don't watch that either.
Alexis Ebden loved Dynamite, not watching WWE, so whenever AEW knocks it out of the park, it's a good week. Also, Tuesday's podcast, Chaos Backstage, which was our title for Raw because there was so many last-minute changes. I was like, but Shinsuke is on SmackDown. Hashtag jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Very more New Japan good. Jokes. We got them.
New Japan. We watch wrestling. Yeah. Just do a few more. Rangers Mayhem. What's your opinion of Taz and JR's comments about the Wednesday Night Wars?
I've literally only just saw the JR ones just saying there isn't even a competition, DVR SmackDown, because we're better. Which is, DVR NXT, because we're better.
You just hate SmackDown right now.
It's just because I've got SmackDown on my mind, just because we're better than them. Yeah, I mean, of course he's going to say that. Like, I really enjoy the competition, whether people believe it or not, or they're just joking around or not. It's fun to have competition. It's not fun to have tribalism. That's a different thing. But it's fun to just say, well, we're obviously better because they're employed by those people. Of course, it's like we're saying we're better than WWE, which we are.
Yes. Just two more. Gavin Elks, the guy that Lance Archer put through the roof, was lucky not to hit the second, slightly taller roof on the other side.
God, you stole a joke I was going to do later. Damn
jam
it.
That jam. Josh DeDominics, Eddie Kingston was my favorite TNT Open Challenge. I agree. His promo was cut from his soul. Arn said next week, Cody goes to war. Cody fears Warhorse.
Yeah. Or Wardlow. or the War Raiders. I don't know.
Could be. It'd be nice to see Warhorse up in there. I'm not that familiar with his work, but I know the people who like him are just that they love him. The play-by-play review of AEW, which opened with that TNT Open Challenge. It was advertised in advance as a really big free agent in wrestling. And it was Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston of, like, Impact fame. And, well, actually, I don't really know him outside of that. I believe he was a Chikara World Champion. But he's been doing a lot of MLW stuff recently. No, not MLW. Was it MLW?
NWA.
NWA. Yeah. So that was, for me, that was a bit telling on the NWA's immediate future, at least, that they are, that there was a report last week where Sean Ross Sapp said that NWA management have pretty much told all their talent, look, we're not going to be able to put on shows for a long time. If you want out of your contracts right now, you can have them, and we'll work out something down the line, which is very, very accommodating of them. That's very nice. You know, not all companies are like that. Lucha Underground, for example. And yeah, just 5 days after, we see one of their roster turn up for this. So, you know, those two things could be connected. But Eddie Kingston comes out here. Such a great promo. He's always been such a great promo guy. And he just cuts such a passionate speech on the mic that was so effective. And I agree with the person who said, as I feel like I'm doing the politics briefings, I agree with the person over there. I agree with you that this was the best TNT Open Challenge. Not only was it a hell of a match, like a sort of hardcore, no DQ style match, but just the way Eddie got us into him as a character and set up the dramatic conflict between him fighting up from the streets in a real legit way, I totally believed him, against this, you know, Cody, who's been handed everything. He's part of the Rhodes dynasty. Brilliant stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so effective, and it's so refreshing to see someone who was new to the product, not new to a lot of people watching it, but new to AEW, to come in, and for the people that weren't familiar with him, he immediately oh, I get it. I get him. I know why he's here. I get why he's angry. I get why he's answered the open challenge. I'm on board with this whole thing. All in like the space of about 2 minutes in a promo. It was so passionate, well told, of just, like you said, his struggles from the streets and hanging around people that were on drugs and how he's had to fight for everything. And Cody has been handed basically everything, which is kind of true. So yeah, it was really effective. Like you said, it brought up the conflict that was going to play out in the match, and it immediately made you go, oh, I care about this guy instantaneously. And that was all in the space of about 3 minutes in the opening, which is so refreshing to see, because a lot of times you either, especially in AEW as well, there's been quite a few times where people have debuted and you'll need to know who they are in order to get it. Like, there's been some anticlimactic debuts with like Luther and stuff like that, where if you don't get him or know him before, you're like, wait, what's happening? What's going on? Whereas this one, guy comes in, and if you don't know, you're immediately invested anyway, which I thought was fantastic, really effective.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of just confidence and through just like a lot of experience. He's been in the business like 15, 20 years. And when he comes out, you know, Ricky Starks is great, but he's at the other end of his career. When he came out, you get a sense of, oh, it's a guy playing pro wrestler, but I like it. Let's go with this. When Eddie Kingston comes out, I believed in every single thing he said. And it just helps you lift that veil of disbelief. And they had, I thought, a really good match. It wasn't like a technical masterpiece, but it was so full of sort of emotion and passion. And Eddie had his own little storyline running through as well. So smart. He's going to lose, so he's selling the knee early, you know, just off a dive. Really, really effective psychology there. And the big spot was the thumbtacks.
Oh, boy. Yeah. When like you said, a hardcore match. He goaded Cody into making it a no DQ match, essentially. And then, there was all sorts of hardcore spots, and he grabs this bag at one point. And I'm like, don't do the thing that they did with Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole. Don't just have a load of weapons in. If you grab a bag, it's got to have thumbtacks in it. And it did. It did have thumbtacks in it. And for once, it was super weird to see the guy that got the thumbtacks actually put the other person in them, which is just such a great subversion of what we're so used to, what's been built in for ages. If someone sets up, whoever sets up the table is going through it, or whoever puts out the thumbtacks is going in them. But no, Kingston puts them out. There's a few like near spots where, you know, Cody was going for like the sit down, whatever it is. I can't remember the name of the move.
It's like a reverse pile driver, double underhook reverse pile driver sit. I don't know.
Tombstone head banging thing. Yeah. Went for one of them and like was pushing Cody around, and then eventually just power bombed him straight on the thumbtack. I was like, oh, looked awful, but great. And then loads of them just stuck in Cody's back for the rest of the match. Looked brutal. Yeah. It was really good.
Didn't go much longer after that, and Cody tapped him out in the figure four. I loved it. I think AEW's roster is pretty good right now. I wouldn't want to see everyone who answers the open challenge to get signed. I quite like the idea of Eddie Kingston to just disappear into the ether for a bit. And maybe, you know, it's foreshadowing for 2-3 months down the line, he answers another one. I don't know. But yeah, this was so good. And I love power bombs. Mm. And this was just one of three excellent power bombs on this show.
Yep.
It's nice to see.
Really good, yeah. I thought it was a really effective way to put over both Kingston and Cody, continue all of that, and just for Kingston to come in and get it. I even like the little bit where, like you said, there was so much passion in the match where Kingston just went to go start slapping Cody, and then Cody just started slapping the hell out of him just before he locked in the figure four. He's like, I've had enough of you. Just bang, 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 just knocking him all over the shop, and then locked in the figure four. It was great.
After that, we had John Moxley cutting a promo about how he nearly tore Brian Cage's bicep again. Then MJF, this was just a brilliant little bit. Because, you know, not all matches need to be matches. Not all squash matches need to be squash matches. Sometimes you can get that there's something that's not really done these days, which is a match angle. So what this was...
A mangle?
A mangle. We got a mangle right here. What this was MJF cutting a promo about how he's never been defeated but in the background there's a match happening where he's beating the guy.
Yes.
So it was just a different way to do this MJF thing that we've had, you know, for a while now. It's never gotten old though, because he's so charismatic, where he comes down to the ring and there's a guy who looks like Jungle Boy but taller. He's called Griff Garrison, and he just they had a match. He beat him up. He got a microphone, started, because Griff Garrison said, oh, you have lost a match, though. You lost that tag match. Although MJF was never pinned, that was Wardlow. So he just grabbed a microphone and started screaming at Griff that he's never lost a match. Admit it. And Griff turned that into a roll-up.
It was very, very smart, yeah. And the near fall spot, I didn't think that MJF was going to lose. But for a split second in that near fall, I was like... MJF kicked out of that, hit the his finisher. What's his finisher's name? They said it on the commentary. I forget what it was. Anyway, he hit that things. And he got the win. I love that Griff Garrison sounds like the most jobberson WWE 2007 jobber name. It's like Braden Walker and Griff Garrison. They could be a tag team. But yeah, no, it was really, really good. And I just love that he looked like Jungle Boy. It's just perfect in every sense of the word. Love MJF. Hot take, MJF is really good.
After that, we got a little pre-taped sort of video skit, I guess, where Britt Baker has had nose surgery after an injury caused in a match with, was it Sheeta earlier in the year? Can't remember. And... Rebel is sort of tending to her. Tony Schiavone is interviewing her. And Britt Baker's just using all this to say, rule number four of being a role model is don't count me out. I'm Michael Jordan. Don't count me out. And Rebel and Tony are just trying to tiptoe around her ego. It was brilliant stuff.
Yeah, it was so funny. She's such a natural heel, Britt Baker. really funny. Yeah, I can't complain about this. I'm super invested. They're doing such a good job of making her still really interesting while she's off TV and can't wrestle.
After that, we got Taz coming out to cut a promo with Brian Cage, explaining why he threw in the towel at the end of last week's episode in the big title match between Cage and Jon Moxley. And he said, look, it was a business decision. I've got to protect my investment. If Cage tore his bicep, he'd be out for another 6-7 months. I need him to stay in. So he never submitted. And somehow, Taz is such a good promo. And you, that promo, plus AEW's overall booking of, oh, and here's a feud with Darby Allin that started right after the match last week. Oh, and here's Ricky Starks as well. He's part of the little Taz collective too now. You're not thinking, Brian Cage lost his first proper match in AEW. I'm thinking, oh, wow, he's really dangerous.
Yeah, it's so incredibly smart to be able to have a guy who lost kind of the first properly big match that he had. Well, you know, yeah, I said the first properly big match that he's had in AEW, kind of like how, you know, how Brody Lee came up short, but they still managed to still make him interesting with the Dark Order. And in this one, they've got Brian Cage, who came up short with John, but then they've still managed to get this Taz promo to say, well, yeah, but he didn't actually lose, though, did he? Like, I threw in the towel to protect him. And I really like how Taz was saying, like, Brian wasn't happy about this originally. Like, we had heated conversations. You know, he's not just a guy, and he didn't look like a chump who was just like, oh, yeah, I'm fine with losing. It was like, no, he's been angry about the fact that Taz threw in the towel because he wanted to win. But now he realizes he's looking at the long game of what he can achieve in the future rather than right now, which is just so good. It's perfect.
I think, you know, watching another company for so long, I've seen people get built up and then fed to someone. And then that person who was built up, Rusev, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, you know, they're built up and then they lose the big match and you never see them again. So this has made this mindset in my head where if ever someone gets built up and I'm like, I like this person, he's my new favorite wrestler, and then they lose their first match, I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm done with them now. It's kind of like it's post-traumatic stress disorder. When really, wrestling booking has worked that way for ages. You just give them to do something afterwards and you keep them strong and maybe you build to a rematch down the line.
Yeah.
Like that happens in loads of other sports. People don't just generally disappear when they fought for a world title. So, this is twice now, like you said, Brody Lee and now Brian Cage that AEW have done this with. You know what? Add a third in there, Hangman Page, for the inaugural championship shot as well, where all three guys have gotten better after that, what perceived was the apex of their initial run. So thank you, AEW, for making me believe stuff can be booked better. So after that, Darby Allin came out to attack Cage. Ricky Starks jumped him. They're going to beat him up, but Moxley fights them off with a baseball bat.
Another beautiful powerbomb, by the way, from Brian Cage on Darby Allin on the stage. Oh, looked horrible to take.
After that, we got a promo that said the women's division is now going to get a Women's Tag Team Cup tournament, the Deadly Draw, this summer. And I've seen a few people message me going, well, I hope Ollie Davis shuts up about how AEW aren't booking the women's division correctly. Jury's out. You know, just announcing a match or a tournament, that's right out of WWE's playbook. Just saying you're doing this or that doesn't mean you're going to actually give them something of substance. So, you know, I'm optimistic, but it's optimism very much laced with cynicism because I've been watching this product for 9 months now. I've seen multiple false starts of the women's division and they're struggling to get a singles division going with all their roster limitations. You know, if this was Impact and it was all of the great female talent they've got over there, I'd be, yeah, you know what? You could have a tag team tournament. How are they going to do it with AEW? There's no real established tag teams. So that means you're going to have to fudge people together. I just think it's a bit of a Hail Mary.
I don't know whether this is kind of a Dusty Classic situation where it's like, well, the prize is going to be really big, so all the singles wrestlers are going to want to team up with someone to win something big at the end. And that does normally work for the Dusty Classic. Granted, it's kind of just morphed into tag teams just do it now. But, you know, in the original incarnation of it in NXT, it was a lot of single guys going, yeah, no, actually, I really want to win this tournament. Let's team up and do this thing. So maybe it'll be that case. I don't know. Like you said, I'm kind of a little bit skeptical right now because it does just feel like they've listened to criticism going, well, you've not taken women's wrestling, you know, as seriously as you promised. And they go, okay, tournament. Yeah, let's do that. And that will fix it. So I'm a bit skeptical right now, but hopefully it will be good.
Yeah. After that, we got the Inner Circle having an interview with Alex Marvez about their upcoming main event against Jurassic Express. Chris Jericho said Luchasaurus isn't a real dinosaur. And then this was brilliant. He asked Santana, do I still smell of orange juice? Because he's still wearing the $7,000 jacket that was covered in orange juice last week. A segment that I did not enjoy, remember. I'm not going back on that. But Jericho's post-selling of it was much better. Did you hear the original plan for this?
I did not.
So what happened was the orange juice was just dropped from up high onto them. The original plan was for Orange Cassidy to ride in on an orange juice truck and hose them down a la the milk and beer angles from WWF. I think that would have been better.
I don't know whether it would have been. I feel like it would have drawn comparisons much more so. Granted, like, other companies have done thing falls from the ceiling and splashes people in the ring.
And that's never been good.
It's never been good. Granted, other companies have done that. But I think that is much more of an iconic scene of Stone Cold and Kurt Angle doing it with beer and milk. I think if he did it with orange juice, people go, well, that's just copying now. I think maybe if they'd done a slightly more unique take on it, if it wasn't a truck with a hose, then it might have been different. But I'm not sold. I'm not sold.
I think it would have at least been better than what they did.
Probably.
But Jericho said, he asked Santana, do I still smell of orange juice? And Santana sniffs him and goes, yeah, boss. And Jericho just screams, damn!
And like after he says, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to lie?
Yeah.
It's great, yeah.
After that, we actually got I've got so many favorite bits of this episode, but this is my most favorite. And it felt like it just started from out of nowhere. Like the Young Bucks, the camera cuts to the Young Bucks and they just walk in backstage. They walk into this giant kitchen and the Butcher and the Blade are just there, awesomely dressed, all in white as they do now. And they're just chopping up meat in the middle of this empty kitchen. And the Bucks are like, we're having a Falls Count Anywhere match. It's happening right now. And Butcher and the Blade are like, all right.
All right.
I just felt like it was a mix between like a Batman comic, because Butcher and the Blade feels so Batman villain-like to me. They're quite larger than life, I suppose, the Alice in Wonderland connections as well. But it also felt quite... I've forgotten my reference now. So it's sort of like a movie. This felt more like a movie, like a Guy Ritchie movie. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you now. Yeah. I don't know if I liked how this started. I don't know if I'm a fan of Butcher Blade just being in a kitchen. It's like, guys, you have a wrestling match. Are you gonna warm up? Are you gonna do an entrance? What are you doing? I'm cutting meat.
That's what they do.
Yeah. All right. You go for it. But as soon as the match started, I really liked that when they said they were going to start, they were like, okay, give me a sec. I need to wash my hands first. And like, you know, got to get clean from it and all that stuff. And then they started wrestling and it just started at like 11 and just carried on. It was immediately like throwing into tables. There was a really cool bit where, I can't remember whether it was Matt or Nick, one of the Unbucks like leapt over a table and then kicked the table back into the stomach of another guy. And they were like throwing into the walls. There was a suplex onto a table. I was like, ow, that would probably hurt. It's just spot. It just carried on for ages. It's fun. It's very fun.
Yeah, it's sort of, and like going into the break, the Young Bucks super kicked the Blade and he fell back onto an escalator that was going up. So he just like was going up as I think JR was yelling, we'll be back after the break. I was like, That's this feels like an old Batman cartoon and the fight sequence. A cartoon show, I guess. But then they cut to the ring. Eventually, they get to ringside. And some of this stuff here was so well thought out. Like, you know, like some hardcore matches are spot, or it's a bit clunky, spot. The way the Bucks structure stuff, it was just insane awesomeness consistently throughout. And one of the pits went wrong, but it was still awesome. And that was the Blade doing a running, jumping senton over the top rope to the outside, missing the Bucks, which I'm pretty sure he was meant to do, but also missing the table that was set up there for him to go through.
Yeah. Just looked horrible. Like, it was a diagonal table that was set up on the barricade for him to just kind of go and slam into, but he just missed. He just missed. It was just, I don't think it was anyone's fault, but his, he just missed. So, but then you didn't have too much time to dwell on that, because immediately after, the Butcher then came in and crossbodied the other Young Buck through the table in the corner as well, which is great. So yeah, it stopped you lingering on botches too long and just went, and next spot. Was really good.
I don't even know if it was a botch. That's the beautiful thing. But the finish was, you know, really, really spectacular. They fired up to the ramp. They hardly fought in the ring. This truly was a Falls Count Anywhere match. And the Bucks super kicked both Butcher and the Blade onto these separate tables. All of this somehow not contrived. Mm. Like, this all flowed really, really naturally to get a really artificial spot set up. And then both of them climb up to the opposite entrances, you know, the heel babyface entrances that AEW have on their ramp. And they both did splashes off the top of the entranceways through the tables to win. I loved this match.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. And it just made you realize that even a team that's not as prominently featured, like Butcher and the Blade, who aren't, you know, FTR, Lucha Bros, Young Bucks, Hangman and Kenny, are still really, really good. God, their tag division's so good.
Yeah. After that, we got Alex Marvez trying to interview Lance Archer and Jake Roberts as they sort of arrived. And Lance just ignored him and grabbed Marvez and stormed into a locker room and dragged Marvez in with him. And effectively saying, I'm not going to talk to you. My actions are going to do the talking. And he beat up everyone in there as Jake the Snake sort of told Marvez off camera all the brilliant things about Lance Archer. It was amazing, because this is where Lance threw a guy through a ceiling.
It was just a locker room. We threw one guy just into, like, you know, like the wooden locker. It's not like an actual, like, metal locker, but just like the wooden sections. Threw one guy into that, like, big booted another guy, took another guy through the roof. It was hilarious. And then I think he took the same guy and then chucked him in a bin afterwards as well. It's just brilliant. Like, the way they've portrayed Lance Archer since he's debuted in AEW has been fantastic. Like, the whole thing when they had the vignettes when he was in the ring in the middle of nowhere and just beat up like 30 guys around a ring, and him now just beating up guys in a locker room and just putting them in bins and through roofs. It's perfect for his character. It's really, really effective.
Yeah, I guess he's a name that we can add to these people who lost their first big match. He had this excellent build through the TNT title tournament, but Cody beat him. So Lance isn't of the same, like, level as he was before, but I don't think he's lost anything. No, they've done a really good tactic of keeping him out of the way, actually.
Yeah. I still think he's probably... He might be slightly lower than where he was before, but it is only slight. It's definitely not been a massive drop-off after his TNT title loss.
Then we got Ivelisse versus Diamante, both making their Dynamite debuts. Ivelisse wrestled at the All Out Battle Royal, was it? Last August, and Diamante wrestles on Dark. And they had a pretty decent match. Well, it didn't go that long, and Big Swole still appeared in a promo thing, sort of squishing the screen in two. And so, you know, still not that amazing treatment of the women's division. It sort of seemed like oh, okay, we've got to have a women's match here. Let's cram in the big swole interview too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it still didn't fill me with hope, but that I thought both of them wrestled really well in the ring. And it was an exciting finish too. Diamante got the surprise inside cradle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was a good finish, by the way. I know inside cradle sounds cheap, but it actually really played into the structure of the match and the story really well. Yeah, it did feel a little bit like, here's your women's division with this one. Like, and they don't do that for anything else. Like, even the tag division kind of runs through the show, multiple segments. You can have, you know, singles wrestlers had matches and stuff like that. Like a singles wrestler from a tag team is still being featured throughout the shows. Whereas this is like, okay, we're going to have the two women wrestle and we're going to have the other story from the women's division is going to be a promo during this match as well. It's like, here's your women's bit. So it's not perfect. It's getting there, but it's been getting there for ages. So needs to just kind of start picking up now.
One of the other things that people keep saying to me when I criticize AEW's presentation of their women's division is, well, you know, they've been dealt a rough card because obviously COVID, and then they got multiple injuries with Baker and Statlander, haven't got Rio around because of travel issues. And yeah, I get that. Loads of other companies have had that too. And Slammiversary was a huge eye-opener, seeing like the depth of female talent they have there. They could have signed Deonna Purrazzo. AEW could have gone for her. Kylie Rae was someone who was with the company last August. They could have, you know, I don't really know what went down there, but maybe they could have made an effort to keep her. Here, Diamante is pretty damn good. She's been on their roster. She's been available. Why hasn't she been used to fill the gap 3 months ago? Why are we only seeing her now? Ivelisse as well, you could have brought her debut forward. So, yeah, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, they might not have had any of their top stars, but then you don't just go, oh, we're not going to any top stars. Oh, well, like, no, you create new ones. That's what you do in the gap. So, yeah, they definitely should have been trying a bit harder.
After that, we got Alan Five Angles.
Angels.
Oh. Said it wrong a few times. Was I at least consistently wrong?
You said Angles. Every time.
Damn it. Angels.
More than Angle.
I should just say Five. Fuzz. I should just say Five.
That is his name. It's Five.
But he took on Hangman Page. Usually, you know, I wouldn't say Alan Angels versus Hangman Page, although it was Angels who had that really good match with Kenny Omega a few months ago when he first signed with the company. Usually you're not like, ooh, this is a mouth-watering bout. I'm sure it will be in ring, but storyline-wise, what's going on there? But Alan being a part of the Dark Order just levels up the sort of storyline complexity to everything, and it adds this layer that's really, really exciting right now. I love the Dark Order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who'd have thought you'd have said that shortly after Dynamite debuted with the kind of botchy start that they had, and it was stop and start all the time. But then kind of since Brody Lee's joined it, it's just leveled up to a whole new faction entirely. And yeah, I mean, Hangman Page took this match pretty decisively. I can't really think of any significant offense that Five actually had in this match. And he just won with a powerbomb.
Not what a powerbomb, though.
Oh, it was good. you and your powerbombs. It was a good match, but it just played further into the story of, yeah, you beat the one guy. Here's everybody else that's standing on the stage. And that played into the promo afterwards, because Brody Lee came out with Colt Cabana and then cut a promo just being like, hey, man, I've always been a big fan of your work, Adam Page. Here's what I'm offering. I think it's really dumb that you came out here with no friends, no tag partner, no nothing, when you're quite clearly in danger. We can offer you some protection. That's all I'm offering. We can protect you as a Dark Order. And he's like, don't really want to join a cult right now. Just chilling. And he's like, well, that's the bed you've made. I hope you enjoy sleeping in it. Walked off to kind of, I love the way that he interacts with Colt Cabana, because it's not just him and Colt are together. It's the putting his arm around his shoulder to shield him from the violence that's about to happen as he walks off. It's little things that really make it with Brody Lee. And then, yeah, the rest of the Dark Order come down to try and beat on Adam Page. But, who comes out to save him? It's not his bloody tag partner, is it? It's not Kenny. It's FTR, which is just so smart. so smart to have FTR come out. They clear the ring out. They smash like a cooler over the Dark Order, beat on the rest of them, clear the ring, and then Kenny comes out. I love subtle storytelling, and yeah. This was a spot on. Loved it.
My favorite thing anywhere, not just in wrestling, but when I'm reading a comic or when I'm watching a movie, is when they come up with something better than I had thought of. Mm. So, you know, like you're sitting there and you're thinking, all right, Kenny Omega's going to run down and help him with the bar. When FTR run out with the cooler, like how symbolic is that? A cooler full of beers, given the sort of, you know, it's not just a professional awkward, a personal awkwardness between Paige and Omega. It's, you know, it can come down to I drink beer, you drink milk. And it was so poetically justified. And after last week's segment, where it's FTR who shared the drink with Paige when he's watching Kenny Omega's Young Bucks match from what looked like a hotel bar. So good. This is excellent storytelling. And on the Brody Lee stuff, we always joke about how, you know, it's definitely not a Vince McMahon gimmick. It's a mafia gimmick, like Brody says. This really was a mafia execution of this gimmick. Like you said, he was talking about protecting people. It was a racket. It was a protection money racket that he was offering Paige. And yeah, that, like you said, that guide in a way of Cabana is very Godfather-esque. That famous scene where the door just slams shut, or not slams shut, but drifts shut, as, you know, the very powerful mob bosses are talking behind closed doors. This was excellent. And mm-hmm. It all ended with, oh, by the way, the Dark Order are taking on Hangman Page and Kenny Omega next week for the tag titles. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. What a great build for that match.
Yeah, and I'm not expecting Dark Order to win it, but I can almost guarantee that there's going to be a really good story coming out of it. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, I believe, representing the Dark Order. I think that the Dark Order are also number one in the rankings. So this, for once, makes sense with that.
Whoa. AEW rankings making sense. Who'd have thunk it?
And the main event, which we've already kind of covered, was Jurassic Express versus the Inner Circle. It was, you know, probably in-ring, it was my least favorite because everything else was just so good, but it was still a really solid main event tag match. Standard template, Jungle Boy gets worked over, everything breaks down. A lot of seconds getting involved, Santana and Ortiz and Marco stunt. And in the end, it was Luchasaurus who got beat by Jericho.
Mm-hmm. With the assistance of Serpentico, who turned out to be Sammy Guevara, doing interference on the outside. But then after that as well, they're all celebrating. They're beating down on Jurassic Express. And then Best Friends come out. Orange Cassidy and Best Friends come out. And they all clear out the ring. And then we realize we get the revelation that next week is going to be a 10-man tag with Best Friends and Jurassic Express versus the Inner Circle. Which is just, it's just going to be fun, isn't it? It's just going to be really fun.
What a great bit of matchmaking. That's two bits there, like concurrent segments. I thought it was an absolutely stonker of an episode.
Yeah.
And it also built next week.
Yeah. I also liked as well, from a personal perspective, you know, Sammy Guevara coming back could have been a bit of a sticking point in the show for some people. I like the fact that he came back and then it just kind of continued with the story. It wasn't like, oh my God, guys, Sammy's back. Look, oh my God, Sammy's back. Mm. back. It was Sammy's back and we're getting right on with the story. The story's just carrying on. Here's Best Friends. Here's this thing. And we're going to carry on with the story. Great. Yeah. He's just back in the Inner Circle. Like nothing ever happened. It's great.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know if anyone saw my face. I just got the most insane cramp from out of nowhere in my left calf.
From out of nowhere.
You get off. Oh. Oh no.
We'll bring you on.
This is painful. Andre Banks. Glad Sammy is back. don't like how they returned him. The shock return has the potential to celebrate him and minimize the reason for his suspension. I know what you mean. I had an initial reaction like that as well. It wasn't so much, yay, Sam is back. It was kind of like, okay. But, you know, it's very hard. I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, ultimately.
Yeah, and I think ultimately if Sammy has gone away for his sensitivity training that he has, he succeeded at it, he's come back as a better person, he served the suspension, then they should celebrate a guy on their roster who they're proud to have, supposedly. You know, if he has proven himself to be a better person, which assumingly he has, then I don't see a problem with it.
Rich McCann, Luchasaurus was hit by Sammy in the Serpentico mask for the win. He then joined them in the beatdown. I think I said Ortiz in my review earlier. Yeah, maybe that's correcting me there. Anthony Pride, Griff Garrison has been featured on BTE and Sammy G's YouTube channel. Also, I wish for Sammy to tag with real life friends Ricky Starks to form Absolute Sex Gods.
That would actually be quite good. I'm into that. I'm really liking Ricky Starks from the bits I've seen in him. Yeah, I think that'd be a cool tag team.
Ben Isaacs, considering what's happened recently, should Sammy and Jericho consider changing their name from Les Sex Gods? I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't say so either. I think they're fine as they are, yeah.
I get why you're asking the question.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Eddie Kingston on the subject of Book of Kings. Eddie Kingston's promo is already in the top 5 promos of the year.
Really good.
It was really good. Daniel M, the Kingston after-match promo, total babyface.
It didn't after-match promo?
Yeah, I don't remember that bit. Maybe it was not on our feed.
Yeah, maybe not.
Christopher Jazzcat was more into Cody versus Kingston than I was versus Dustin. What?
God damn. One of the most emotional matches of all time. Though, not according to Louis Dancor.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Matthew Robinson, this is how the TNT title should be defended and gives a lot of new people coming into AEW.
Yeah, I really like the showcase feature of it. It's not just AEW you're going to get to see the wider wrestling scope, which is great.
Over to you. We've got loads of super chats, by the way.
We'll have tons,
we'll try and thunder through.
Yeah. On the subject of Butcher and the Blade, Rich McCann said, I'm so in love with Butcher and the Blade. Do you think they can ever win the tag titles? Absolutely. Yes. Ever? Absolutely. Yes. They're really, really good. Yeah.
Maybe one day, but I mean, you know, that it's look at that division. I don't think you want to be trading the tag titles that much. I think they might get lost in the shuffle.
They can do, for sure. I think they have the talent to win the tag titles. It's just whether the timing's right and the story's right for them. Myron Speed said, support WrestleTalk, ignore petitions. Hashtag Louis screwed Louis. The Butcher and Blade match really elevated them for me. Lance murdering the ceiling was A+.
Oh, I love that bit. Could one of the mods pop in the document where we're at with Louis' signatures at the moment? That'd be interesting to know how he's getting along.
That would be very good. Christopher Jazzcat, Butcher and the Blade versus Bucks was great. Hope Blade is okay.
Oh, that dive.
Yeah, he seemed to be okay. There was a few spots afterwards that he managed to do just fine. So he still kept his timings in the match and stuff like that. So hopefully he's okay, yeah. Matthew Robinson said, gotta love... Oh, hold on. I can't see because now Mod Mother's typing in the thing, so I can't read what the thing says. Gotta love the no-holds-barred with the beginning, with the butcher actually being a butcher. Yeah.
Yes.
And they were holding... Blades. It all makes sense.
Gimmicks.
We have got an update from the Mod Mother on how many signatures that petition's got. It's about 2,988 too many, I'd say, of 2,988. So,
it's a long way off 10,000, though, isn't it?
No, there's still a ways to go. Yeah.
On the women's division, Ben Isaacs, based on the name Deadly Draw, my guess would be that it's the old WCW tournament where all the teams are randomly selected, aka Lethal Lottery.
It's not a bad idea. I quite like that. I like to see the interactions, especially if you have people who aren't fans of each other coming together to tag team. I think that'd be fun to see the interactions between them.
Alina Bliss was happy to see two Latinas in the women's match. Made me proud as a fellow Latina. Was a great match. Hope they get pushed.
Yep, they're both really, really good. I've been a fan of Eva Lee's for quite a while. I think she's great. So it's really cool to see him.
Why weren't they used sooner is my only question. Matthew Robinson, one problem I have is the announcement of the women's tournament when they don't even have a good story for the division. This will not help.
I hope it does. I hope it does help. I hope it's like a Cruiserweight Classic situation where Cruiserweight wrestling wasn't really a thing in WWE, but they put on the Cruiserweight Classic, which was a stonker of a tournament, and suddenly everyone went like, oh, Cruiserweight wrestling is awesome. So I'm hoping this is a tournament where everyone can go, oh, AEW's women's division is actually really, really good, and they put a lot of time and invest a lot into it. Whether they do or not, it's another question, but that's what I'm hoping.
Similarly, sort of down on it, James Hanley, my patience with the women's division ended last night. The tournament seems like a participation trophy, and though I love Swole, how does playing Swole's promo in the middle of the only women's match help anyone?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Totally agree with you, James. Myron Speed, my guess is AEW is trying to elevate the women's division using their tag division's expertise. This has the added advantage of differentiating it against women WWE's women's tag efforts, or here's hoping.
Yeah, I mean, AEW really does know how to do tag team wrestling, so if they can get the same kind of expertise across to the women's division, it would be great, but I don't know.
I think you've got to focus on the singles division first.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. We'll go on to some miscellaneous super chats now. Jonathan Hedman says, if I missed this, or you said it after I wrote this, I loved how Jericho's Tron was orange tinted. Jam that jam.
I didn't notice that. That's great.
Yeah, that's very smart. Alan Sales said, Warhorse teased for next week online. Can't wait.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brown said, love the show, but I have PTSD listening to Tony Schiavone commentating on a backstage match. God, that video game WCW Backstage Assault sucked.
I've never played it, but I've watched enough YouTube videos about how crap it is to feel your pain.
Yeah. The Zornice says, Ollie, you're awfully happy that some guy threw your brother into thumbtacks. OT, it's the outline of the blue part of the logo thicker than the other ones?
OT?
Huh?
OT? The outline of the blue part of the logo? I don't know what you're talking. Are you talking about these on the graphics?
I'm very confused.
You know, the blue bottom line, maybe. You're right, the Zornice. I am happy Cody was thrown into the tax.
They're two separate questions. I got very confused. There's no punctuation to separate it. Anywho, Rich McCann says, would like to see Dark Order win next week and send Kenny in a downward spiral with a slow heel turn, trying to get it back with a page that does not really care to.
Could happen. Could happen. Be a huge win for the Dark Order, and I wouldn't be against it. I love the Page Omega storyline so much. I want to see that continue.
Mm-hmm. Ariotl, that's a terrible reading, sorry. Is there a main event scene in AEW right now? I'm a fan, but it's just weird to me that they have this huge mid-card scene with people emerging from it to have a main event match before sinking back down. Yeah, it does kind of feel like the Moxley scene isn't as important in their mind as some of like the tag team stuff that they're doing. Mm-hmm. The tag team division feels much bigger than actually the AEW world title scene.
Yeah, it reminds me of ECW when you had Shane Douglas as the champion. And it was almost like the championship matches were a bit like, okay, yeah, we should have a championship match. When the really fun stuff was, you know, everyone else, Sabu, Rob Van Dam. So there is an element of that to it. I think it's more that everyone's pushed so well that all the divisions seem quite equal.
Yeah, it's very possible. Charlie Davis said, when Kenny was the cleaner last, he made not so subtle hints that it was because he felt abandoned by Ibushi. Kenny always turns when he feels abandoned by his tag team partners.
Great character consistency.
Yeah, that'd be really cool if that does end up happening. El Fermentado said, amazing AEW show and Dark Order is always watching.
Josh, as is Meltzer.
as is Meltzer, but WWE's audience for SmackDown is not. Josh DeDominix said, Hangman is involved with Four Horsemen tease, tag titles, leaving the Elite story, divide with Kenny, and now the Dark Order. That's how you book someone.
That's how you book a promotion. Interconnected storylines.
Yep, absolutely. Nick Drop Sodium said, love this episode. Great wrestling and storytelling all round. All hail King Chop.
King
oh, no.
Chopper Whopper.
We've too many nicknames, man. Can't keep adding them. Did you want to take back over for a few?
Sure. I'll do the home straight. Sawyer, I can't believe how surprised I was by Sammy's return. In hindsight, it felt like I'd completely forgotten he was gone. Credit to the storytelling and for the taped reveal not leaking on Instagram.
Yeah. It's almost as if one of their roster members didn't put it up on social media beforehand. Sourav Gurja, I'm looking at you.
Christopher Jazzcat, Cody versus Dustin didn't feel real to me. Kingston did. Well, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I personally loved Cody versus Dustin. Chris Petrow, AEW was on fire last night. Two solid weeks of shows. Women's division still needs more work, though. 4.25 out of 5, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm about the same with you there.
Monty Granito, early in the Dark Order, they teased wanting to acquire Kenny. Maybe they have.
Ooh, wouldn't that be a reveal and a half, eh?
That faction does not need more leaders. Wrestling Miscellaneous, Anton H, still waiting for Paul Heyman's in-ring return as a performer. Also, you guys should tell us the demos and if you trend younger than WWE AEW.
Well, I am the demo god, so maybe on the SmackDown podcast, I can do a deep dive on the analytics. No one's going to want that. I won't actually do that. I am joking.
Our demos do correspond with AEW, though, seemingly. We don't trend that old. No, we're 18 to 45 majority. With NXT, I think, is typically 50+. WrestleTalk Miscellaneous. Drip Soup, did you see that Meltzer mentioned WrestleTalk when he was talking about Raw's low ratings this week?
Yeah, it was Raw's and SmackDown's, yes. And we are better than WWE, yeah, we know. Yeah.
Bobby Stevens, chop that chop.
Thank you.
Gabriel Caruso, here's $5. Now dance, chopper. Dance.
It feels weird when I'm dancing for money, but all right, yeah.
Alexis Ebden, if people wrongly vote for Louis on Quizzlemania, will Ollie still be a part of it? Don't leave us again, Ollie. You need to break the streak. Maybe that's what's at stake.
Maybe, yeah.
Matthew, no, I'll be on the next one. Matthew Robinson, love having Pete on AEW chats. Tony Khan's money finally got you over on this program since he is more popular than SmackDown.
Yes, I am. Sing it, me. I'm the only person on SmackDown, on the SmackDown reviews, and I am better than WWE. Yes.
The Zornis has clarified the right side of the blue part of the WrestleTalk logo. Okay.
My one does look bigger than yours.
Hmm.
That's strange.
Different colors as well, the name bars. Consistency. Yeah.
Come on, Luke.
Some last-minute messages. Billy Joyner, hi there, Ollie and Pete. Did anyone else notice that Brody Lee called Paige Horseman? That was good. They're loving these Horseman teasers. And New Punk Rants, AEW has the best tag, men's, and factions division in wrestling. It's been 9 months. The women's division have 2 running stories. More coming. Relax. You just made my argument for me, though, right? It's been 9 months. but that's great that you can wait. I'm going to hold them to a higher standard because a lot of their pre-promotional stuff was how much they're going to push women's wrestling. I think they've very much failed in that regard.
So I've got some emails here, Ollie. Would you like to hear them?
I would, but I'm just getting over how famous you are. You and Andy.
The most famous people in the world now.
Have you got any ideas on how you're going to treat your demo god status on Saturday's review?
Well, I get the feeling that the banner that we have on the bottom of the video it says, puts, you know, my name, my Twitter handle, Andy's name, his Twitter handle, and in the middle, it just says the world's best nitpickers, because that's kind of us. I think I might change that to literally the most famous people in the world now.
Literally. Move aside. Who would you say is the most famous person in the world? Jesus.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good one. I was going to say The Rock, but Jesus is good.
I think Rock's more famous than Jesus. John Lennon famously declared the Beatles are bigger than the Bible. The Rock is definitely the modern day incarnation of the Beatles.
Of course, he is everywhere and everyone knows The Rock. So I think The Rock. So more famous than The Rock is what should go on the SmackDown banner. We're talking about this for so long. If we talk about it in the intro, on the main show, and the outro, I feel like we might be over-egging it.
You got to hammer this stuff home. You could be called The Chop.
What?
You know, like The Rock. The Chop Cornell. The Chop Pete Cornell.
That is terrible.
I've always said this about you. You haven't got enough nicknames.
Never. Literally. Never enough nicknames. Never enough gimmicks. I don't know if I want any more, if I'm honest. People have started to know me as the ranting guy on SmackDowns, which is, you know, SmackDown reviews. That's what I do because it's a bad show regularly. So that's another one that's going in. So yet another gimmick we're just going to add on top. Maybe I should just do a video one day where I just do them all. And I'll just list all the nicknames I've got in the start of it. And that's just the first minute of the video.
That was someone else's gimmick.
That's true. Yes, I know. I did realize
maybe
that.
Give it a few months. Give it a few months before we reprise.
Maybe that. See, I was thinking more along the lines of Daenerys, who, you know, had all the nicknames in the world. And then everyone else is like, all right, I'm John. Which wasn't quite the same.
Have you read the books? Because they all have all the nicknames. It's like,
no, I've only watched the show.
Half of the book is either nicknames, descriptions of what clothes people are wearing, and food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like George R.R. Martin's like, there's going to be a feast here. So that's 10 pages describing each and every course. I love Song of Ice and Fire. I'm not going to call it Game of Thrones, TV marks. But yeah, I started getting off track. I wanted to check to see, hey, maybe it's coming out soon, the next book, because I've been waiting for like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's optimistic that it's coming out next year.
Mm-hmm. I believe that I have my fingers crossed. I don't believe that for a second.
There's two more books left.
I don't think he's going to be alive for the last one. Yeah. It's going to be a sad time when it doesn't get finished. And the only finish we've got is Daenerys burning down King's Landing in a really, really bad twist.
Whoa, spoiler.
It finished over a year ago. Come on, guys. Also, spoilers for Game of Thrones. Anyway, let's read some emails.
I think it's better that people know that going in. If I knew that was the ending, at least I can come to terms with it before it happens.
Yeah, I guess so. I think the turn itself is awful on every level. Maybe it will make you have a newfound appreciation because it's almost teased, but not quite. Anyway, let's talk about some awkward social interactions because we spoke about it on Raw when my friend asked the hairdresser what they did for a living. We got an email here from Eli who says, "Hi, Pete, as I heard you and Ollie share some awkward social interactions, I thought I'd share one of my own. Of course, we've all had the classic exchange with a worker at a movie theater or a cinema where they say, 'Enjoy the movie,' and you say, 'You too.' When an airport worker takes your ticket and says, 'Enjoy your flight,' and you say, 'You too.' I've learned to just be quiet in those moments. However, one of my most awkward moments came in high school. My teacher, with whom I had a class within the next period, had gone into the bathroom right before me. I didn't realize he was there till I got in. I saw his face as I walked up to the urine. I said, 'Hey, Mr. George, how's it hanging?' And then immediately realized what I'd asked. He put his head down and shook it disappointingly. I suddenly didn't have to pee anymore, and I left. Thanks for reading my weird social interaction. I look forward to possibly hearing more of yours. Thank you, Eli, for that email."
Oh, Eli, you made it so much worse with how you dealt with it afterwards. Because now there was no excuse for you to be in the toilet if you didn't wee. You've just got to commit. You've just got to stand there and keep talking to him. Just keep talking nonsense to him like there's nothing wrong in the world. And then it doesn't make it awkward. It makes it awkward for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you're fine. Yeah, and that's the only thing that matters is that you're fine. It's an interesting choice of wording. Maybe change it so that your normal greeting is, how are you doing? Because then that can never really be taken in a bad way. That's what I say.
Or just greet everyone, how's your penis?
Yes, of course.
Because then it's not weird when you do it in a toilet. Because, oh, that's Eli. That's just the way he greets people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can just become penis. you can
just become penis. Destroyer of worlds.
I was supposed to say, Eli, how's your penis? Surname was going to be the name, but I just said penis first. So.
I love your wrestling pay-per-view.
Penis first.
So on the greeting people, or at least replying to a greeting with the exact same greeting, I struggle with this around birthdays when it's my birthday and people will say, happy birthday. And I'll be like, happy birthday. It's usually what happens.
I had one once where someone was just walking past me in the street that I sort of knew vaguely as an acquaintance. So you had that kind of awkward, like, do I stop and chat? Do I not? Do I just walk past and say hi kind of interaction? And as they walked past, I just went, hey, how are you doing? And I was like, happy birthday. And then walked off.
Oh, no.
It was not their birthday. Not even close. I just panicked. I said something and walked off. And I was like, oh, no. Just walked off. Didn't look back. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
He's always going to think of that interaction when he thinks of you now.
Yeah, I know. It's not good.
Were you living the gimmick at the time? Was this during the period when we sang happy birthday to you every day?
Oh, no, it wasn't. Yeah, no, this was entirely separate. I don't think they were even aware of the two times that the happy birthday gimmick has been part of my life. So, this was just a panic, just straight panic. And I didn't even think about the words I was saying until after I said them. And I was like, wait, why did I just say that? Time to go. Just go. Just pretend you weren't even stopping in the first place. Just keep moving. That was terrible. I've got another email, if you'd like one.
Yeah.
This one is from Rachel, who... This one's actually about AEW. It's on the AEW podcast. Well, hey, I did some research because AEW likes to talk about their young future stars like MJF and Jungle Boy, and I bet the ages of some wrestlers would shock you. All right, BuzzFeed.
you won't believe number 7.
This could easily be a list or a segment on Quizlemania. Adam Page is only 1 year older than Darby Allin.
Whoa, that is crazy. Does it have the actual ages there? I believe they're in their early 30s.
No, this is just verbatim from the email, unfortunately. Orange Cassidy is older than Jon Moxley.
No. This is surprising. This is a good list.
Yeah. Nyla Rose is 14 years older than Riho.
Whoa. Well, that's not surprising. Because
Riho that one.
Very young, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Colt Cabana, Lance Archer, and Brody Lee are all in their 40s.
I didn't know Brody Lee was in his 40s.
Yeah. I think I did know that, yeah. Jimmy Havoc is only a year older than Cody.
Wow, that's a shocking one.
With
Lee, Cabana, and Archer, they've been around forever. So it's weird. It's like Cabana doesn't surprise me at all because I've been following his career from like the late noughties. But for people like Lee, who kind of do feel like a new talent, don't they?
In that the
Wyatt family doesn't feel that long ago, although it's like 7 years, I suppose. And now he's got this fresh start in AEW. So I guess he was only really getting a break on the main roster when he was about 33, 34. So it just goes to show how WWE, like, you think these NXT talents, like Finn Balor's the one that always gets me. When he was called up, he was like 36. And he just seemed like this young, vibrant, fresh face of talent. When really, he's at such... there's not long left there. There's 5 years, really, until you go into sort of like the final veteran part of your career.
Yeah, exactly. And to have such a guy who is... on the older side of the spectrum, to have such a like a young person's moveset, how to move so fluidly around the ring, to have these big kind of high flying spots, and to be such a master technician in the ring.
You can say sexy body, Pete. You can say sexy body.
That's not what I'm saying at all. He does have a very sexy body, but that wasn't part of my point. Last one on this list, which I quite liked. Rey Fénix is still in his 20s.
Yes. That means Rey Fénix will live forever.
Or get so many injured. Stupid bumps. Yeah.
Or get injured in the next 2 years.
Yes, absolutely. At the very least, this could make a good over-under round for Quizlemania. I think it's very interesting, the discrepancy between how old we think wrestlers are and how old they actually are. Well, thank you for the email, Rachel.
That would be a really good round, actually. Sort of a Price is Right, higher, higher, lower, lower round.
Yeah,
we should message that to Adam and to Andy, because there is a hell of a list there, and there's also a Quizlemania round.
Totally.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, thank you for the email, Rachel. That was great. One thing that I looked up as well, because after I read that email, I was like, I'm just going to check this. I wanted to check how old people like MJF and Jungle Boy and stuff were. Do you know how old MJF is?
Well, they're legit 23, right?
MJF is 24, yeah. I think Jungle Boy is as well, yeah. And Marco Stunt's 23, I think, something like that. So, yeah, they are very young. Good God.
That's real youth. That's like when wrestlers should be starting out on a major promotion if you're of that level.
Yeah, exactly. But they've got, hopefully, bright futures ahead of them. Anywho, we should probably wrap up this Wrestle Talk podcast episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll be back on Saturday with Andy for SmackDown. We've got the Wrestle Talk podcast tomorrow with Adam and Alex, Queen of the Ring, because Luke, for the magazine show, obviously Luke's away, but we've got Adam stepping in with Alex, which will be great. And then we've got loads more content coming soon. Thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.